All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, and we have a returning guest with us.
All right. She still gets an applause, even though
All right.
You've been on here before.
And you hit the right button that time. I'm impressed. Your skills are ever improving.
Ever improving.
So we have Dr. Michelle Mazur on the phone, on the line, on the Zoom. With everybody else in the world that is now on Zoom. So welcome, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah.
Is Mazur, what is that? Is that French?
I'm Polish. It's actually Mazur like laser. It's less fancy.
Mazur.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Mazur because we like saying
I know.
I'm
100%. Well, I'm 95% Polish. Like my father's side of the family is like 100% Polish. Like my grandmother was from Poland. So...
Isn't that kind of attached to France? I mean, I don't know my European.
No,
geography.
Not at all. Not even close.
Oh, well.
More attached to Germany.
Okay. Well, I failed history probably at some point in my life, I guess.
I think Germany.
Definitely
close to
Germany.
Russia, though.
Yeah. It's yep.
That's like asking Borders somebody in Europe Germany. To name the states and locations of states. Like they can't do it either. So
yeah,
I don't feel bad.
All right. So we got that. We got Mazur.
Mazur.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So if, for our longtime listeners, this was the episode about the three-word rebellion. Mm-hmm. And as I was scrolling the Facebooks recently this week, I saw a post that you did, Michelle, that really caught my attention and had some... the big question was, should we be changing our messaging, changing our three-word rebellion kind of statements and things like that because of everything that's going on? Is this that kind of shift that requires a shift in messaging? And so I want to go into that and a couple other things on this episode. But before we do, let's talk beverages.
Yes.
Absolutely. And so why don't we let our guest, since she has a beer today.
Yes. I also have a cat if you're watching on the live stream. My cat loves Zoom. He always shows up. There's nothing I can do. But yes, I am drinking today Elysian Split Shot, which is an espresso milk stout from Elysian Brewing here in Seattle, Washington.
That sounds amazing.
Talking our language.
I'm telling you, that's some good. So go ahead and pour it. Are you drinking out of the can?
I'm just going to drink it out of the can.
All right.
We wanted to see what it looked like.
It's a stout. It's like a dark,
it's
a creamy, milky stout. Yes.
All right.
So is that one of your favorites, like your go-tos?
Yes, I love this one. Mm-hmm. Like this is, because it's a nice, it has like a coffee taste to it. You know, it's a nice espresso. Yeah, because that's why it's called Split Shot, because it has like espresso coffee in it. I think it's Stumptown coffee that they put in it. But
Stumptown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
What's the ABV on that sucker?
Oh gosh, I think is it 8%? That's a really good question. Oh, it's only 6%.
Okay.
All so right. It's not as, which is nice. Cause some of these, I went to Fort George Brewing down in Astoria before all of this happened, and they have the Festival of the Dark Arts, which is all dark beer, like a day long dark beer festival. And that's all like 8%, 9%, 12%, 13%. Yeah. So that was an intense day of beer drinking.
Yeah, that and makes for a rough next day too. For
sure. Yes.
Depending on how many you have, right?
Yeah. So, Jonathan, we need to put that on the world tour if we ever get around to doing a world tour.
We might have to make it a virtual tour for the next, at least the next month, right?
Yeah.
So, you misspelled year.
let's see. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Jonathan, I'll let you go next with your beer, because I've got kind of a sort of kind of beer, so I'm not sure. I'm afraid I'm going to get booed off the set.
Uh-oh. You might get a laugh track.
I might, so I'll let you go first, though.
All right. Welcoming back a little Highland Brewing. So this one is a Gaelic, the Gaelic L. So I don't think we've had this one, and I just spilled it on my mixer. Oh, crap.
Oh, man.
Jason, can you give me a... So, yeah, I just spilled it, and if this thing goes berserk, then you'll know that our equipment is completely fried. But this is a – let me pull this up here. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hold it up a little higher. I can't see it.
Oh, wait. Just hit a button. So do you see that?
Yep.
I don't have the camera on yet.
Gaelic ale.
This is a deep amber colored American ale featuring rich malty body. Isn't every beer, doesn't it, every beer have a malty body?
It should, but I mean, there's only so many words to describe beer. I mean, what do you like? You just can only rearrange them so many times. It's
so there we go.
That's why you gotta have cool stuff, cool labels and stuff.
Kind of looks like a little whiskey there, but it's got a nice little color.
Yeah.
A nice thick head. But I haven't had anything from Highland Brewing that's bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have a, I'll let you go first and then I'll have my, my first sip of this.
Yeah. So I went with, I don't know why I picked this up. It just called out to me last week when I was doing my shopping. But I went with a Not Your Father's Root Beer. I don't know, maybe I'm feeling childish today or something for root beer, but it's the Not Your Father's Root Beer. It's a 5.9% alcohol. I don't know that this could actually be considered a beer beer. It's more like a, it's a Not Your Father. So it's alcoholic root beer.
Mm-hmm. So, I've actually had that one before. It's good. It is good.
I mean, I think I've had it in the past. I've never had it on the show. Like, I like it, but I don't know if it's show worthy. That was the dilemma that I was facing all week. And I've been nervous about bringing it out the whole week. Because I know we'll probably get comments and hate mail because I'm drinking Not Your Father's Root Beer instead of beer. But, you know.
If you're sending hate mail, it's Sean McCool at gmail.com.
I don't know whose that is, so you can send it there. I wish it was mine, but I was not that early to the Gmail game. it looks like root beer. So it's not really exciting. No head.
Ew,
I could go get a scoop of ice cream from downstairs.
There you go. Oh. That would make that work.
Maybe I'll do that for the next episode.
All right, Jason, what are you having over here? So I'm going to have to hold. Do you have your can over there?
I don't, but it's okay. It's one of my favorites. And Sean doesn't have to worry about getting criticized because IPAs aren't really a man's beer, apparently.
That's even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
That's even worse.
Let me see that glass for a second.
In my defense, I did try and buy a
go ahead.
A more appropriate bad, beer Sean. For the podcast, but they were all warm. So, anyways, it's from Wicked Weed Brewing Company in Asheville, which is where they started. And I actually went there a few months ago, and they have so many local breweries that are amazing. But this is a Wicked Weed Lieutenant Dank. ABV, right. I think, is 8.3. It's a bit more piney.
You say Lieutenant Dank?
Lieutenant Dank. Yeah. So it's very hoppy. A little low on the piney side. Finishes pretty clean. So that's it. So, Sean, you're off the hook.
All right. I appreciate that.
I don't know about that. You are having a root beer.
It does taste really good, though.
Okay. All right.
It's like drinking candy.
All right.
It actually does taste like those root beer barrels, the hard candies. That's what it tastes like. So it's really good.
This one is nothing special.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry to hear that. Womp, womp, womp.
So we need to start doing like ratings on here, like a 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And if this were getting a 1 to 10, this would probably get like a 5.5.
Okay.
Most of Highland Brewing would be like 8.5 and above, but
yeah,
this is nothing special.
Man, bad day at the office, I guess.
Yep. You know?
Yeah. Everybody's got them.
I need to come up with a 3-word for this one.
Not that great.
Boom.
Not that great.
Not that great.
All right. Well, speaking of 3-word rebellions, let's talk about, as we're recording this, we are in the middle of the end of the world. And that's a 4-word, end of the world.
That's all right.
It's close, though. And like I said, Michelle, I was going over your, you've popped up in my Facebook feed, and I saw you talking about, should we be taking another look at our messaging during this time? Because it does feel like there's been a very significant shift to, like, consumer behavior, consumer focus, like, all kinds of stuff. So Tell us a little bit about that post, why you posted, and kind of what your feeling is on it.
Yes. Well, it's interesting being in Seattle because we were kind of the early adopters of this pandemic, if you will. Like, we were hit before anyone else. And so I feel like I'm in the new normal now while everybody else is kind of adjusting to it. Yeah, I've just like had a client week and all of my clients are scrambling like where I was 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, what's the big deal? I've been living like this for a while now. And when this was first happening, I was just seeing, and I'm like, okay, I was seeing like three responses online, and it was either like, I'm not going to change anything, and I'm not going to say anything about this, and it's business as usual. I'm just going to go ahead with my launch and my funnel, and everything is fine. And I'm like, okay, that's really like, you can't do that. Like, everything has shifted. The economy is changing. People are scared. And then there's this pendulum shift on the other way where there's this, like, this panic, and everybody's like, I'm going to do all this stuff for free, 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 free. Like, let me give you value. Let me give you value. Oh my gosh, here's this value. Oh my gosh, please, please remember me. Remember me. And I'm like, all right, slow down, like, take a deep breath.
Yep.
And so my initial post was really about, I saw also a lot of shoulding on people, like, you should just give all your stuff away for free, or you shouldn't be selling at all, or, you know, be sure you're selling, but do it with care. And I'm like, okay, let's slow down for a second. Let's take a deep breath. And let's figure out what the best way is for you, because none of us have been here before. Like, it's not like when we had the 1918 pandemic, we had online businesses and somebody has a template for this, right? Like, there is no template. There is no one who can guide you.
Right.
So first, like, I wanted people to be aware that you've got to take care of yourself first. Like, you are your business's biggest asset. So how are you feeling? How are you sleeping? Do you have the things you need in your house? How can you take care of your own mental health? Like, what? Because I was having a real stress and trauma response for the first few days of this in Seattle, and I really couldn't do much, and I was addicted to my phone and Twitter and all the things like you should not do during this. Yeah. Like, the endless scrolling on the phone was not great for me. And then once you kind of figure out how you can take care of you in a healthy way, and you get like your household prepared, then you can think, okay, how, like, I need to like look at my bank, like, how much money do I have on hand? Are leads still coming in? Like, how healthy is my business right now? When do I need to start selling again? Because it's not a matter if you need to sell during this pandemic, it's when do I need to start selling again? Because this thing is going to come in waves. If it's anything like the pandemics we've seen in the past, it's most likely going to let up during the summer, come back with a vengeance in the fall. So it's not going anywhere, and it's hitting the country in different waves. Like, Seattle will probably be through this before the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out when is the best time, and then figure out, okay, what about my message needs to change? How do I want to show up in my marketing? How can I serve my clients best right now? Do I need to create a new offer that I can sell in a different way, or I can serve in a different way and not be in reaction? And so for me, that's what I want people to stop reacting and start really like leading with intention, because for me, I don't see this as I see this as a great reset. Like, I feel like we are at the beginning of a reset of the business industry, probably our whole society, but the playing field is going to level. And the people who were the industry leaders before, well, their automated funnels aren't going to work. They're going to actually have to learn how to build relationships with actual human beings. And so it's not going to be like, I can just run ads and make all this money. So the game is going to change. And so you as a business owner have to figure out, how do I want to lead my business and my audience through this? And now is the time to do it, instead of being like, what's the free thing I can offer everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I've seen both those reactions. I've seen, saw one company who had a book launch. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names, but they have a very big affiliate network. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing a big book launch, and a lot of the stuff just looks exactly like it would have looked before. Mm-hmm. Some of that's on the affiliates themselves. Some of that's on the promoter for not changing the tone.
Yes.
It's almost like it's just business as usual. Nothing's happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not, you know, people.
Feels weird, right?
It does. It really does. I mean, even if you're not someone that panics, you're thinking, do you even know what's going on? I mean, because you can't avoid it. I mean, it's regardless of what your response is.
At least acknowledge it and say,
right,
hey, we know there's a lot going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. That's why we think this is whatever.
Yeah.
You know, valuable, resourceful, whatever. Like tie it together, put it, you know, show why this is now. Like, I think one company that did a pretty good job in an email I got, they're kind of on the other end of the pendulum, but the way they did it was pretty good, was Digital Marketer. So they sent out an email. They had already planned on like canceling part of their, taking something out of their Digital Labs subscription, which was just terrible timing because they'd already queued up the email and all that kind of stuff and forgot about it.
Oh, dear.
So he sent out a kind of follow-up email apologizing. And then they made the labs open till the end of March to anybody that wants it, with no upsells, no nothing, anything like that. And then they would reevaluate at the end of the month. But they gave a good reason why you might want to go ahead and do that. That even though, you know, so that you can take this time where you're at home and start preparing for the next thing. And I think that's a good plan, because if people get in there and they like the stuff and they feel like they're learning, they're going to want to keep it.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a try it free for 14 days offer is really what it is. Mm-hmm. But with a very strong emotional tie to what's going on.
Yeah, because I've seen the same thing. Like, I see someone doing an affiliate launch for like a $3,000 course, and this person isn't pivoting, her affiliates are pivoting the messaging, but then you look at the landing page for like the opt-in and there's no mention of it. And I'm like, who's going to buy a $3,000 course right now? I'm like, what alternate universe is somebody going to be like, hey, you know, we're on the brink of not only maybe a recession, but probably a depression of our economy.
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to spend $3,000 learning some nice to have skill.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of like on the back burner. Yeah. I'm just trying to pay the bills right now, you know?
Yeah. I can see people, I mean, personally, my business is doing very well.
Right.
I, you know, like I sell a very high touch service, but it's a service I'm selling. Like, I'm in your business with you. It's not this course that you're consuming, and my services are on the same price point as the course.
Yeah.
Like, you would probably want somebody in your business with you versus like on demand course. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think business models need to shift. And I think it's tone deaf just to go forward with a launch like that. Cause I don't know how you think that's going to be successful right now.
Yeah. I think not acknowledging it is a problem. I'm not so sure that you know, some of the same things won't still be successful. Courses will still be successful.
Right.
Cause I think there's a lot of people who are now going to shift how they work, and they're going to need to learn new skills that we take for granted, especially in the, you know, marketing space.
Yeah.
You got a whole world of corporate people that are now going to take a really hard look at working for home.
Yeah.
From home.
Some by choice, some by demand. Yeah. Like some skills they'll want to learn, and others I think are going, like the course that I have in mind, it's a very like nice to have when you're further along in your business. It's not like a how to build your business course.
Okay.
That's fair. It's very much a like, oh, once you're established and you want more, yeah, I don't want to even talk because as soon as you say, I say it, people will know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's like no one's going to pay that amount of money for something that is it literally kind of a frivolous expense at this point.
Unless you can, unless you can tie your message into why they need to in times like this, I think it's. I think you, and it may be difficult for some people, but let me share an example of some things that I've done this week. Cause I work with a lot of manufacturers. And one of the things that's going on right now is I do a lot of consulting and sales with manufacturing companies, and they've closed. A lot of them are not taking visitors right now. So I'm not traveling. I'm not meeting with a lot of my clients face to face, which I do. That's a big part of my business. But instead, one of the things that I've done this week is, I produce two podcasts within my industry, within my manufacturing industry that I serve. And one of the things I've been doing this week is sending out like emails to manufacturers, because what's happened is because of this COVID-19, a lot of trade shows have been completely canceled. So that's a big part of what their advertising is like being at these trade shows. Thankfully, a lot of these companies are being refunded a lot of the money that they put into a lot of these trade shows out there. So what I'm doing is reaching out to them and saying, listen, I know travel is going to be sparse over the next couple of months. Here's something that you can do. And I'm reaching out to them about being a sponsor on a podcast, you know, spending some of their advertising and not as much as they would at a trade show. They could get some value back out of that by being on the, you know, being a sponsor of the podcast. So they're getting their message out to their customers, out to their customer base through that medium. And, but I'm using the message of, hey, here's a solution for you. And it's not as expensive and it's going to help you in the long run, because we know that you can't, there's not a whole lot of things you can do right now because of the situation that you're in.
No, I think that's a great way to serve. But I also see like my friend, my friends and clients who are like coaches and therapists, their businesses are booming right now because people are under stress. They're in a lot of uncertainty. And so their businesses are actually skyrocketing because people need help. Yeah. And so like a few of my clients are like really worried. They're like, well, nobody's going to want to pay for coaching. And I'm like, oh, no. You don't understand. Like what you do is actually really needed, because we are in these uncertain times and people are frightened. They're in stress responses. They're in trauma responses. They need your help. So if you let them know you're out there and that you can help them navigate this and come up with solutions for them on how to navigate this, they will gladly pay you for that service, because it's how they're going to take care of themselves over the next few months. And when you approach it like that, people are like, oh yes, I will gladly pay you. Like, thank you for coming up with this solution. I didn't think of that before.
Yeah. And I think that's the key message that has the kind of the golden thread that has to run through everybody's message is, let me help you sort through the madness.
Yes.
And let me help you find a way to get to adapt to the new normal, if this is new normal. You know, and obviously while we're in it, it's always worse while you're in the beginning of it, in the middle of it, whatever, you know, because the recency bias of it and all the cognitive triggers that are being fired right now is just unbelievable. So I'm not ready quite yet to say it's the new normal. Like, it will be for a while for sure. I'm just not sure that it, like, it's forever, but sentiment, consumer sentiment, just like it does in the stock market, has definitely shifted. And people are panicked right now. So even if you're calm as a business owner, as a coach, consultant, whatever, you've got to understand that most of the public is not. Most of the public is freaking out still.
They're
probably drinking beer on a 1:30, but not for the same reasons. You know?
Not exactly.
That's true. I actually saw my, I had a regularly scheduled checkup this morning with my doctor, and he, you know, they always ask you the alcohol question. And I said, oh, I'm actually drinking less these days. And he's like, you are probably my only patient who said that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. All the grocery stores here deliver wine and beer in Texas. So, and now the restaurants can too, apparently. Like they can actually deliver mixed drinks now. So that's scary. Oh. But that was the governor.
See?
Of all the laws that we needed to pass, that was the one that he passed. Like,
hey, well, get you drunk at home.
Yeah. Numb out. Please don't pay attention to what we're doing. We'll take care of you.
Numbing behaviors.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of that. So I think it's really critical to modify your message to fit the time. So
yeah,
I guess, Michelle, the question is, how do we do that? Are there some kind of big things to look at? Do you have a 3-step process for this? A 12-step process?
A 3-word process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say, you know, if you have a 3-word rebellion, you probably don't need to modify that unless it has the word viral or virus in it, then probably, or the word pandemic. Yeah, might want to get rid of that kind of wording. But I would say overall, just kind of like look at what you're putting out into the world right now. So look at if you have any autoresponder set up. Does anything need to change in that first and foremost?
That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of that like rudimentary check, just like go into your ConvertKit or whatever you're using and just go through it and be like, okay, does anything really need to change in here to be more reflective of the times? The second thing I would look at is, like the content that you've already batched out, do you need to put like a bumper in front of it, like a little intro saying like, hey, this was recorded before all of this happened and it's still relevant because A, B, and C. So do you need to preface it? Do you need to pull it and record something else? I've had a few people I've seen do that. I'm actually going to put a bumper on a podcast that I'm putting out next week. So like, is there any tweaks you need to make in that way? Do you need to turn off any of your social media automations? Like, cause I know we have like Meet Edgar and everything else. So is there anything that you need to turn off because it's insensitive to have it on? Is there any like ads you need to turn off or turn back on because maybe there's something you should be offering? So those kind of just like, I almost think of it as like hygiene. Like, is there anything insensitive that I'm putting out into the world that I need to pull back on right now?
It's almost like, there needs to be, this would be a great lead magnet right now. You could do like an audit, you know, for the, cause there's so many things, you know, especially if you've been doing business for a while online, there's so many things that are automated that you've already forgotten about, especially the details of it. Like you're like the Meet Edgars, the autoresponders, maybe ads that are doing really well, you know, or we're doing really well.
Might be tanking.
They might be tanking or they might still be just doing fine, but they don't have that. They're not going to be congruent as you go down the funnel because of the changes. So like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's running automatically. Yes. Processes, you know, copy, all this other kind of stuff that's the kind of stuff that needs a little bit of an audit in this time. I think that's a really great point.
Yeah. And then
a lot of that stuff out there.
Yeah. And then the second thing that I did was I asked myself, like, what policies could I change to better serve my clients right now? So one of the things I did was I dropped all of my rescheduling policies for my one-on-one clients because I know, A, they have their kiddos at home. They have their hubbies at home. They might get sick. I also let them know, like, hey, this is going to be what happens if I get sick. Like, you'll either hear from me or you'll hear from my husband, and this is going to be the rescheduling policy if that happens. You know, so they knew what would happen. I also, since I offer an implementation period after they finish their one-on-one work with me, so I extended that by 2 weeks just to be more generous because I know things might be slower for them. So like, how can you be more generous, more supportive of your clients and communicate that? And communicate, like, this is what happens, like, if you get sick. This is what happens if I get sick. This is what happens if Zoom gets overloaded and we can't get on together, just so that they know that you're thinking ahead and thinking about them, so that you're being proactive in your communication. I think it's really important that we take good care of our people right now and just ask them if there's anything else you can help them with. Like, how can I help you right now? Like, let me know. Just write. I mean, most of my clients didn't take me up on that, but I just put it out there. If there's anything else they need, just to like, let me know about it. But like, how can we be generous and communicate that towards our clients? And then the third thing to start thinking about is there something new that you can start offering to bring in additional revenue? Because, you know, especially if you're doing more high touch services, or if you're in the speaking industry or event planning industry or trade industry, like what else can you offer people to generate revenue? Because that was the first thing my brain went to. I'm like, oh, I offer really high touch services. Is there anything else I can do to help and be of service at this time that could be at a lower price point that could really help people? Because like, I'm really strategic and really good at messaging. So I'm putting together like a basic offer that'll probably be around $500, where I'm like, let's go in, let's triage your messaging and figure out like a 30-day marketing plan.
I like that.
Yeah. So how could you generate some revenue? Like, especially if things are getting lean for you.
Yeah, I like that. The, especially coming up with other things, because I think it may be uncomfortable, but a lot of businesses are going to have to start doing something or adding something else to their repertoire, because some of the things that have worked aren't going to work, at least in the short term.
And so, that can be really fun though.
Yeah, it could. Can I share an example? This is a company that I talked to earlier this week. They do a lot of apps. They're kind of an app developer, but based out of San Francisco. So the reason I interviewed them on one of my podcasts this week, because one of the things they're doing during this time is they've developed one of these, it's like a remote access using virtual technology, VR. And so, you know, one of the problems in the industries that I serve is that it's like travel restriction. So you can't visit a lot of your manufacturing clients, and a lot of suppliers can't visit their customers during times like this. But so I interviewed this company, and they actually just recently launched this app, and they realized, well, it was really a luck of the draw. It's not like they planned this, because it just happens that the times that we're in right now opened a perfect opportunity for it. But it's basically a virtual access where somebody uses like a virtual headset, and they can be like in time at that facility while the manufacturing company on the other end, they have like a 360 camera. So a lot of times we're in person, you know, a person is needed to be at the facility to do some consulting work or, you know, kind of look around the plant floor and things like that. They're able to provide this technology straight from their home. So I interviewed the company this week, and they were like, yeah, this is one of the things that we started pushing really hard because we realized there was an opportunity for this. And prior, it was just a way to reduce the expense of travel. Now it's like, it's beyond just reducing expensive travel. Now it's just like, it's a necessity because people can't travel. So it's like, okay, I'm going to put you right there in somebody else's plant using this technology to look around and to do consulting work. So I was like, that's amazing. So immediately, you know, I had them on my show this week and interviewed them, got their message out. So I was trying to like, in talking to them, because it's a startup company out of San Francisco and they've done some other work, but I was trying to help them like, you know, because they're coming up, and I think this is a great episode as an example, coming up with a 3-word rebellion. What are you trying to accomplish during this time? And so one of the things they sent me, and I want to read this to you, Michelle, because I want to get your take on it. So one of the things they say, they sent me, it was a headline. It was a media sheet, and they sent it over to me before the podcast, and like, take a look at this, please, and tell us what you think. So the headline says, solution to coronavirus travel restrictions. So that's like, okay, I get it. But like, I mean, that's kind of bland, but
it's like a public service announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not really like, a good 3-word rebellion headline. So I'm like, Yeah, that could probably be worked on. So maybe, you know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because you, yeah, you'd want something like more intriguing about being mm-hmm. Like,
I would ask a question.
Seeing the eyes into like their, into the space when you can't be there. Like, obviously that's way too wordy, but right. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, same place I was going. I was like, be with your customers when you can't or something like
mm-hmm.
there's something there about being there without being there.
Yep.
Virtual. I had a newsletter one time that I called the silent salesman and it was like a newsletter that, people could send out to their customers.
Yeah.
So that they're going into people's homes and this newsletter does the selling. You know, so maybe there's like a virtual repairman, a virtual consultant, a virtual, like, I don't know, but
yeah, you know. Something. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's such a, I mean, and yeah, like great luck, like great timing for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. That's what I said. I'm like, did you guys plan this? And I'm like, no, we actually developed this late last year and it was just another means of helping, you know, companies reduce travel or reduce the travel expense. Now it's just, it's like, it just a coincidence that this is more important than ever right now. So
it's like that. It's like we all stepped in that movie, that George Clooney movie and where he's flying around doing the layoffs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started doing it virtually.
That's a great movie.
That's the movie we're all in right now.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think, you know, a little bit off topic, but I think one of the biggest things that's going to come out of here, there's two big things I think will come out of here. Virtual and augmented reality will take a huge leap in funding and breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As will the second thing will be broadband rollout.
Oh yeah. Yep.
We'll get some serious backing as well, because if you're going to have all this virtual heavy mm-hmm. processing video type stuff,
oh my gosh, yes.
You're going to have broadband to every corner.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Every home, because people are working from home more. All those employers that were resistant to work from home are going to see that they can survive and actually maybe even be more productive. And they're going to be like, oh, I guess we don't need a 500,000 square foot office tower. You know, maybe we can.
You don't need that overhead.
Maybe we can just give people a laptop instead, you know, or whatever. So those will be some big changes. I want to get back to a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of covered, should you sell and market during a pandemic? The answer was yes. Just do it with some tact and some, and some service.
You're going to have to, like, if you want your business to survive, like it's not like this crisis is going to end anytime soon. In fact, it's probably going to come in waves. So you're going to have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. And we could start. And depending on your, I think another thing is to really know, to me, this pandemic is going to hit the service industry harder than like just typical corporate America. Mm-hmm. Whereas the recession in 2008 hit everybody across the board.
Yes.
It was pretty equal opportunity, destroyed everything. This is kind of a bottom up thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like the hospitality service industry, not regular service. It's more the hospitality. That level is going to has already gotten wiped out.
Yeah.
So you just have to know like where on that spectrum is your clients. You may not need to change as much if they're, you know, IT professionals or IT providers that are going to have a pretty steady job and maybe more work, maybe, you know, whatever. But if they're down, if they're servers or Uber drivers or a lot of the lower, I don't want to say lower tier. That's just rude, but you know, those types of jobs.
The hospitality waiters,
trade show industry, like we talked about, event coordinators, wedding planners,
wedding planners. Yeah.
All those kind of things, caterers, restaurateurs, that stuff. Speaking of restaurants, while we were talking about other things, restaurants could start doing virtual cooking classes.
Hmm.
They can't all do it. But the savvy ones could certainly set up a camera in their kitchen and be the go-to.
Sure.
You know, be the positive, the one that's making lemonade out of lemons type restaurant in your town and still do takeout and those kind of things. Because most of ours are still allowing takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of ours are allowing takeout here. Yeah. Like you can. So,
But yeah. I know so far that people haven't really made the switch yet because they were all hoarding groceries.
Like, we're ordering takeout tonight because I'm so sick of eating whatever we have in the house. I'm all like, yeah, we're doing takeout. Yeah, so
I think you'll see that kind of curve back up a little bit for the restaurant owners. Yeah. But that's not going to really help the servers and the valet people and all that stuff.
Well, I talked to a local, they're like an IT or it's like a tech company. They just service people's computers. And it's just a local place where I drop off my computer, and mm-hmm. they called me this week and just asking, you know, which I was like, yeah, I was very appreciative. They called me just making sure everything's good. But it's a good company, but I was just asking them some questions on how they were responding to everything. And they're like, you know, we've never did on service, delivery or on service repair. But we're all of a sudden this week, we've added that into our service options. You know, prior to this, people just dropped it off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they're having to rethink things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So the third thing I wanted to talk to you about, Michelle, was I just saw this on one of your posts. You talked about how flatten the curve is a great three-word rebellion. So I'd love to hear, like, what makes that a good three-word rebellion? And
yes,
and let's just kind of unpack that. So it's just a good. And I think the government is actually really good at this kind of stuff.
Like, yeah, well, actually, that's like a term from like epidemiology, and yeah. I didn't realize that. It's so funny. It took me a few days, like, because we were all going through the stuff in Seattle, and I kept hearing about flatten the curve, and then finally, I was like, "What does that mean?" Yeah. And then I was like, "Wait a minute, that's a three-word rebellion." I was like, because number one, it's creating that intrigue because you don't know what it means right away. You go mm-hmm. flatten the curve. Ooh, what does it mean to flatten the curve? And how do I help flatten the curve? Which is exactly what you want a three-word rebellion to do, is to have it intrigue you, right? Like mm-hmm. open that intrigue loop in your head of like,
yes, like,
what does that mean? What does it mean for me?
Yeah. So, what is this curve you speak of?
Yeah. And like, what can I do to flatten it? Like, mm-hmm. what's my part in that? Mm-hmm. So I was like, right. Brilliant. And it's an active, like, it's a rallying cry. It's that mm-hmm. battle cry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get a big hammer and just smash it like sledgehammer, you know?
Yes. Like, we're going to do this together. I mean, it's an unusual saying, right? Like, it sticks out because mm-hmm. you don't normally see flatten and curve together. Mm-hmm. So, like, it just sticks out in your mind and it's a great hashtag. So, mm-hmm. like, all of those things together make it a great three-word rebellion. I'm like,
easy to spell,
great hashtag, very sticky, and it does make you want to click the link and learn more. Because yeah, the first time I saw it, it was like linked to a Google Doc, and it had all these steps you could take to flatten the curve. And I remember, because next week I was supposed to go to Palm Springs for a mastermind event. And so in the mastermind group, like, I was the first person to back out because I'm in Seattle and we didn't know what it was going to be like. And it was supposed to hit. We've done a pretty good job of flattening the curve because mm-hmm. like our cases of COVID-19 have gone up about 100 to 200 a day. And they're not doubling like they were supposed to, because originally they thought like 100 to 200 to 400, but we're not doing that. Thank God. So I was like, I'm not going, like, I'm not getting on a plane. I'm going to flatten the curve. And because I started talking about flatten the curve, the woman running the mastermind Googled what that meant. And she was like, oh, I need to flatten the curve. So she read about it and was like, oh, I should probably cancel this. So it was mm-hmm. actually very persuasive her, yeah. And changed her. I mean, she would have been forced to cancel the event anyway at this point, but to help her make the decision. So it was a great way to disseminate the information. So, I mean, it just really shows you the power of a good three-word rebellion to disseminate information, how everybody can rally behind this weird epidemiological, like, concept, but that it can really go mainstream and people are like, flatten the curve, stay at home. And I mean, even when our governor is sitting there talking about it and saying it over and over and over again in his press conferences, we're all like, yeah, flatten the curve, man.
Yeah. I think what's really cool about that is I hear you talking about it. And when you said, like, I didn't know that's where it came from, is epidemiology, and that, like, it's a kind of a known term there. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a good thing to point out, is that a lot of times that three-word rebellion you're looking for is buried in your processes. It's buried in something you already have written or done or something else. You know, it's like, it doesn't have to be this new thing that you put on a whiteboard and mix and match words, which you do that if you get, if you're getting close and it's not quite the right words, but it may just be laying there in your stuff.
Yeah. Well, and what I love about it is it's like, you can show it visually too, because I think that's been the big problem, is that people, because you've seen, I don't know if you've seen the memes about like Gen Xers versus boomers and millennials, because boomers are like, oh, I'm just going to go out anyway. And millennials are like, oh, well, I don't feel bad, so I can go out. And it's like, but the thing is, it's not about us going out and living our lives, because it's not going to be that bad. It's about overwhelming our medical system. Yeah. And so like when you see that graphic and you see that if we don't flatten the curve, our medical system is literally going to crumble and people will die because the medical system crumbles. And I'm like, that's why you flatten the curve. You know, and I'm like, it's just, I mean, it just, you know, describes the phenomenon so beautifully. And so I'm, you know, I'm thinking now boomers are at least catching up a little bit with why they need to stay home. I see a lot of my Gen X friends really frustrated with their 70-year-old parents who are like, I'm still going to go to Mexico on my vacation. And they're like, no, you're going to die. Like, please stay home. Just don't go. Please, please stay home.
Yeah, so maybe So maybe it's a conspiracy theory to cut Social Security costs. There's so many conspiracy theories out there right now. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
So, I know. I've heard people call it the boomer remover.
Uh-oh, Jonathan.
That's clever. That's
clever. I know. I'm all like, oh, it's just the boomer remover.
I'm not a boomer. Although my kids call me a boomer.
Yeah. Nobody knows about us Gen Xers. We're like just quietly sandwiched between these two warring generations.
Although the Gen X memes have been great. Because they've been good, like, oh, yeah. Because it's all about how Gen Xers, we've been prepared for this.
Yeah, we trained like the
latchkeys kids.
Yeah, man. And we watched all those cool movies back in the late 90s. What was it like?
Red Dawn.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was like.
Contagion.
Contagion. And like the one with Bruce Willis where they're trying to save the world from being destroyed by a comet. You know, we've been prepping for this for a long time, thanks to Hollywood.
Yeah, we were hoping for World War III, but like, okay, this
we'll take it.
We can sit inside and watch Netflix and do nothing. That's what our childhood was about.
Exactly.
We were the generation that was kind of freaked out with Y2K, and we're like, okay, it didn't happen, but you know.
But it didn't happen because computer programmers made sure it didn't happen.
Right.
Right. It's one of those things like, did they do anything or did they just get nice checks that year? Because
like, no, my computer program, my friends said that they did quite a bit. So
they did a lot of work. Yeah. I had a guy, I remember the company I was working with back in 99. There's just one guy in this office all day, all year, just going through every line of code. He'd come out with this stack of paper every once in a while and show it to the boss. And then he'd go back in his hole and keep typing for a year. And then he didn't have anything to do the next year, but oh well,
he did his job. We're saved.
So, Michelle, what's your biggest kind of takeaway and biggest piece of advice to people as we kind of right now where we're at, and just as we move through this? Obviously, nobody knows when and how it's going to end.
Yeah,
it will end. We just don't know when or how.
I mean, everything ends, everything changes. And I would, that sounded like everything ends.
In a world where everything ends.
I know. In a world where everything ends. I can tell I haven't drank for a while.
Perfect. And
yeah, no, doing well.
Everything's not feeling really good for Corona beer right now. So maybe we can come up with a three word.
Maybe they should just rebrand, come up with a new brand.
Not that Corona.
Not that.
I would say, don't be reactive. Figure out what your best next move is. Like, don't slash the prices of your current services. Offer something new. Figure out how you want to pivot your message. And really look at this as a great opportunity to step into leadership. How do you want to lead your business? How do you want to lead your industry? How do you want to lead your audience? And do it with intention and not the weird free panic we're seeing. I mean, I feel like that free frenzy will probably die away in a couple of weeks because nobody can keep that up. And people are, I don't know how much people are paying attention to that anyway.
No, I wouldn't. If people are, somebody's offering something free, I'm ignoring it because it's, and it cheapens it.
Well, and it also just feel, I mean, you can almost feel that desperation, that energy of like scarcity and desperation. And, this is a great time to create something new. And that is that you can offer, that you can bring to the market, that can really be of service. Mm-hmm. So we're entrepreneurs and business owners. We are here to solve problems. So lean into that. Use your creativity to really step into your own leadership instead of freaking out. Like, freak out in private. Freak out to your spouse. Freak out to your cat. Freak out to your kids. But don't bring that onto social media.
Right. Because they're not doing anybody a service by commoditizing, because they start cutting their prices and
it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah. It's a race to the bottom. So they commoditize everything and it hurts everyone.
Yeah. Yes. So instead of cutting prices, what I'm hearing, one option would be to add more value. If you feel like you need to do something, add an extra call. If it's a group coaching program, where people can just vent or talk or whatever.
Yeah, add more access to you. And, I use Voxer for coaching with me. So people can walkie talkie me anytime, leave me messages and I can get back to them. And it's like we're having a conversation. So there's lots of ways that you can add extra value to your services if you want to add a little extra because you know they need support, but don't slash prices. I mean, if you want to offer something that's lower tiered, create something new. Make a new offer, but do it with intention and make sure it aligns with the rest of your business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my clients, we offered how to survive or how to take advantage of the stock market during this, right? Cause it's a business type group.
Yeah.
And it could be a standalone product on its own, but we just gave it away to the people that were in our paid group and just our paid group only. We didn't put it out there free to everybody. Mm-hmm. Give it to the people who are already paying, make them want to hang out with you during this because you're, like you said, you're showing leadership, you're showing calmness, rationale, being rational, all those things. Because that's what people are looking for right now. They want people
They're looking for leadership.
Yep. And certainty and calmness, steadiness, because that's what's missing in the world. So, how can your business be that void? Because somebody's going to fill it and somebody in your market is going to fill it.
And it might as well be you.
Right. Well, Michelle, we have a rule on the podcast that when we run out of beer, we're out of the show. And we both had one sip left, I think. So I saw you turn that can up pretty high. So I think you're almost done as well.
I've had two. So Jason hit the fridge, man. We're good.
Cheers.
It's been fun. We've been talking for a while, but how can people learn more about you? And
So I'm at drmichellemazur.com. One of the best places to reach me is Instagram is my major home these days. So you can always DM me. I'm at Dr. Michelle Mazur there. And if you want to learn more about the three word rebellion, that's threewordrebellion.com.
And it's also a book, right?
Available. Yeah. I have a book called The Three Word Rebellion that's available on Amazon for like $13.99. So if you want to pivot your message, this is a good time to do that reflection right now.
Yeah.
That's right. Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve, man.
Yeah.
And wash your hands, which is not a three word rebellion, but just do it anyway.
Just do it anyway.
Are you on Facebook
right now, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, wash your hands. Wash your hands, people.
It shouldn't be a three-word rebellion, but it kind of is right now.
So. Jason asks if you're on Facebook. What is your Facebook?
Yeah, I am on Facebook, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She's got the Dr. Michelle Mazur.
Mazur. Don't make her your media profiles.
Oh, yeah. I'm Dr. Michelle Mazur pretty much on all social media. Yeah.
Perfect. I was just seeing how I could link up and maybe share some of your stuff. So,
where's that voice coming from?
I would flip my screen, but I'll knock over a beer can.
Yeah, that's a desktop, so let's not do that. It's not your MacBook.
All right, Michelle, we enjoyed it. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, and we look forward to getting this out. Hopefully you can join us again soon on an upcoming episode. Yeah, because it'd be fun to kind of like see how all this plays out in here in the next 3 months. You know, we may be talking back during the summer again. We can have you on. We might be.
Yeah.
Who knows what we'll be looking? I mean,
we may be laughing at all this.
I know. Maybe it'll be fine, or maybe it'll. I have no idea.
Sean and I by that time may have changed this to whiskey persuasion by the whiskey pint.
That's a lot of whiskey, man.
By the bottle. Persuasion by the bottle. Who knows? By
the bottle.
The fifth, right?
Yeah.
Persuasion by the fifth.
Well, Jonathan, I'll let you take us out.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks again, Michelle. We really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the conversation with you. And as always, for our listeners out there, you can find us over at Persuasion by the Pint. Find us on any of your podcast platforms. And until next episode, see you later.